As I begin this morning, a little bit of a disclaimer. Most of my homily this morning is recycled, is used again from the homily I used at our homecoming mass on Friday morning at St. Mary Central High School. The reason I'm using it is not because I'm lazy. If you want to think I'm lazy, I guess that's your decision. That's fine. I'm okay with that. So why am I using it this morning? Two reasons. First, last night, as I was leaving the football game at the Dome, two couples were standing there talking. One of them had been at the Mass on Friday. They said, "Father, what are you doing tonight?" This was last night. I said, "Well, I'm going to work on my homily for this morning." And she said, "You should use your homily from the homecoming Mass yesterday." And I said, "Well, I'm a little concerned that people that are at Mass were at the homecoming Mass." She said, "No, the students were there, but there was only about 15 parents there." And she said, "Plus, by the way, I really want my husband to hear this homily. And we plan on going to the 10 o'clock Mass this morning, so maybe it'd be good for him to hear it." The second reason is this. Last Sunday, I was on a run. Once in a while, it's nice to get out and get some fresh air and go on a jog. And typically, when I want a quick run, I go around Tom O'Leary Golf Course. So I head up north on Washington. As I was running up the hill right in front of the old Hughes Middle School, I could hear sounds coming from those fields just on the south side of the VFW arena. Yelling, screaming, some kind of event was going on. And I thought, I wonder what's going on. Maybe it's a softball game. There's softball diamonds there. As I got a little closer, I could hear what they were yelling. They were yelling stuff like, "Stop him! Get him!" I thought, oh, it's a football game. Must be junior high, maybe freshman football, but it's a Sunday. I wonder what's going on here. Got a little closer, and then I could see what was happening. There were 5, 6, 7-year-olds playing football. And the parents were yelling stuff like, "Get him," as if somebody was being attacked. "Stop him," as if they're at some kind of a rock concert. While their five-year-olds play football. I'm not here to accuse anyone, but for me, something just felt off when I heard that. Today, St. James talks about disordered passions. That seemed to me like a little bit of a disorder. Like I said, I'm not accusing anyone, but it is good to think about these things sometimes. So this morning, I want to talk a little about sports in kind of an unusual way. I want to talk about my own experience of sports. I want to begin by saying this. I am a professional loser. And I'm okay with that. I'm not looking for any pity points this morning or sorrow or anything like that, but I am, and here's why. And for those of you who heard this homily, you can snooze for the next 10 minutes. When I was 13, I struck out to end my team's time at the state tournament in Wahpeton in the 13-year-old baseball tournament. Not only did I strike out, I struck out looking. Kind of hard for a 13-year-old to swallow. 1 year later, at the age of 14, playing 14 and 15-year-old Babe Ruth baseball, I was the only kid who got cut from the roster for the state tournament. They made me the bookkeeper to make me feel a bit better, and I was a pretty good bookkeeper. 2 months later, as an eighth grader, my second year of Bantam hockey, cocky, ready to make the A-team, fully confident I was going to make the A-team, I got cut. Didn't make the A-team, didn't make the B-1 team, made the B-2 team. In fact, we had so few players on the B-2 team, I was an eighth grader, they had to bring up, for some reason, fourth graders to play on our team. Not quite sure why or how, but it's the truth. When I was a senior in high school, running cross country, the top 10 guys on a team gets to go to state. I was number 11. But our coach, because he was a generous man, and I was a senior, and the number 10 guy was a freshman, swapped us and let me run in Valley City. I took 123rd at the state tournament in cross country. Not to mention, I'm a lifelong Viking and Twins fan. Some of you know that. So I am a professional loser. But I would like to think that I'm in pretty good company. Some considered Jesus to have been a professional, world-class loser. He was a wannabe rabbi who did not have the credentials to be a rabbi. He was rejected by the people of his hometown. He was betrayed by a friend, mocked, scourged, beaten, hung on a cross, taken down, his dead, lifeless body placed in a tomb that he did not own because he had nothing. So was Jesus a loser? This morning, three questions. First, what do we learn from winning? Because we're all very concerned about winning, especially even at the fifth grade level in football. What do we learn from losing? And was Christ a winner or a loser? So first, what do we learn from winning? We actually do learn some things, don't get me wrong. We learn things like perseverance pays off, that hard work can make a difference in one's life. We learn that sometimes a certain level of skill is simply involved in order to get the job done. We learn all those things. But in my experience, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a loser, in my experience, I've learned more from losing than winning. Why is that? Because oftentimes winning prevents us from really growing. And I'm not just talking about sports. This could be in the business world. This could be in the healthcare world. This could be in wherever. When we experience success after success after success, what oftentimes happens? We might become proud. We might become arrogant. We might become self-reliant. We might even become complacent. And that prevents us from growing. Because everyone, a heart that is proud cannot receive God, because it's so full of itself that there's no room for Him. Now, what do we learn from losing? Rather than me talking more about myself and my experience of losing, I want to share a couple quotes with you. Some of you might remember back in March of 2014, our St. Mary's basketball team was this close to winning the state championship in Class A basketball. They lost by 7 points to Fargo Davies up at the Dome in Minot. A couple days later, actually the next day after losing that game, almost half the team was here at the 11:30 Mass. Some of you might remember them being here. A couple days after that, they gave an interview for the Dakota Catholic Action about their experience. They were very honest. They talked about the pains of having lost. But when I read that article, I couldn't believe what some of our young people said about what they learned from losing. They said things like this: I might lose a game, I might have a bad game, but it's about a lot more. Another said this: the real reason I play basketball is to make an impact, to affect others and make a difference in the world. We did not take home the state championship, but I think we took home a lot more. Finally, playing basketball made me a better man by allowing me the opportunity to sacrifice every day. It took emotional fortitude to get to practice every day. By putting it all on the line, we sacrificed for each other. Sounds to me like sometimes losing is winning. Those three quotes came from our very own parishioners that go to this parish. Now, back to the question. Was Jesus a winner or a loser? Am I soft? Am I saying that winning is bad? No. Let me be absolutely clear. Christ came for one thing. He came to win. He came to defeat death. He came to defeat sin. He came to defeat hell. Christ was a winner, And part of being a Christian means that in the very depths of our soul, we have a desire to win. But sometimes winning looks a little bit different than we might think. Last Monday, September 14th, we celebrated the feast of the exaltation of the cross, the triumph of the cross, the victory of the cross. For us as Christians, that cross is not a sign of defeat. That cross is not a sign of loss. That cross is a sign of victory because Christ rose from the dead. We're very blessed in our lives as Christians, as Catholics, to have Mary as our patroness. If any of you have ever been to a St. Mary's basketball game, football game, volleyball game, we oftentimes pray before our games. You know what? It drives some people crazy. I get emails from people asking why we pray, saying we're being arrogant, saying we shouldn't be doing that. My question is, why wouldn't we do that? It's who we are. We pray. We're Catholic school. I'm sorry you're offended, but this is who we are. So when I say Mary, Queen of Victory, and all our kids yell, pray for us in kind of a brash way, are they being arrogant? I hope not. Because we're actually praying for something. We're not just showing off. We're actually praying for victory. But what does that victory look like? Are we praying for safety for both teams? Yes, absolutely. Are we praying for success for one of the teams? Yeah. But we're also praying for something else. We're praying for salvation. We're praying that our kids understand that the greatest victory we have in life is salvation. Back to Mary for a second. Where did she experience that? At the foot of the cross. When she did not leave her son, but she stayed there at the cross. So the question for us this morning is this. Where do we experience the cross? Is it in a struggling marriage? Is it in health concerns? Is it in a fear of the future, or a struggle with sin, or a fear of being rejected, a fear of failure? Where is the cross for us? Because wherever the cross is, that is the place where Christ wants to give us victory. Our only job is to give him permission.